Hey, Bruiser Buddies, this is Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty.
Before we dive into the episode, make sure you hit subscribe on the podcast platform you're listening on. Also, follow me on X at The Dave Dynasty and subscribe on YouTube by looking up Nostalgic Dave Dynasty. You can also buy one of my shirts at ProWrestlingTees.com/TheDaveDynasty. Now, enjoy the show.
Welcome to 1 hour of the toughest, roughest wrestling you'll ever see.
That's right, Dick the Bruiser, set it off.
The big question, have you got the endurance? Have you got the brains to get past the excellence of execution?
The reason why Ax and myself were put on this earth is to demolish people.
Bobby Heenan, that is a very good-looking sport coat you've got on.
Yeah, and I paid for mine. Mine isn't government issue.
Yellow, everybody. Lance Russell and Dave Brown right along ringside. By golly, we're ready to go with another big week of championship wrestling.
Greetings, wrestling fans, and welcome to Wrestling Nostalgia. I'm your host, Dave Dynasty. Thank you for joining me. This is my first episode in my new home in Pensacola, Florida. That's right, down in the southeastern land, and it is beautiful, and I love it so far. And thank you for being patient with me as we went to the every other week schedule while I was packing and ready to move and everything else. Still settling in, so it's still a lot of crazy chaos, but hopefully we'll be back on a weekly schedule now. Now, on this episode, my guest is Sim Snuka, who was also known as Deuce in the WWE. We talk about his father, Jimmy Snuka. We talk about interactions with Shawn Michaels and others. We talk about so much stuff. It is a great conversation. It is coming up in just a minute, so let's take a break. And when we come back, we will have my interview with Sim Snuka.
Hey, you bums. We have to take a quick break.
Filsinger Games is a tabletop cards and dice game company that has enjoyed success for over 3 decades. Their first game was Champions of the Galaxy and was released in 1986. Champions of the Galaxy is a tabletop game that features professional wrestling over 100 years in the future. Humans, aliens, and monsters battle in the Galactic Wrestling Federation for belts. Legends of Wrestling features officially licensed wrestling cards featuring stars like Ted DiBiase, Jimmy Snuka, Harley Race, and many, many more, including game sets for independent promotions. Each match takes place in real time. The action is fast and furious, and all the things that happen in pro wrestling, like cage matches, outside interference, three-man tag matches, they also happen in the games. You have the opportunity to run your own wrestling promotion involving either real-life stars or fictional characters of the future, or you can mix and match both. Visit FilsingerGames.com for more information and to order the games today. That is Filsinger Games, FilsingerGames.com to order now. If you like horror movies, be sure to check out Dave Dynasty and Ike Isaacs on the Listen to Their Screams Horror Podcast. It is available on all podcast platforms and on social media at Listen to Screams. That is Listen, the number 2, and Screams. Hey ho, everybody. Subscribe to the Pinhead Pod, the Ramones fan podcast, bringing you interviews, news, deep dives, and much more. Look it up on your favorite podcast platform. That is Pinhead Pod.
We're back on Wrestling Nostalgia.
And welcome back to Wrestling Nostalgia. This time I'm being joined by a man who is formerly known as Jimmy Snuka Jr., as well as Deuce in the WWE. Sim Snuka, sir, how are you?
Man, I'm better than good. Enjoying this Arizona heat.
Yeah, it's kind of a dry heat out there in Arizona, isn't it?
Yes, sir. I prefer that, that Hawaii weather, but that's not where I'm at right now. So it's all good.
All right. Well, let's get into it. Obviously, everyone knows that your father is Jimmy Snuka.
So what was it like when you're like, you know, 12 or so years old and your dad is literally one of the most popular professional wrestlers in the world?
You know, it was interesting, actually. It was actually kind of hard in some ways because, you know, that was really building his popularity around that time. Like he's huge. And so it was hard for us to go anywhere without being bothered. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Like at that time we lived in North Carolina when he first went to WWE. And then before WrestleMania one, the first one is we moved up to New Jersey. And anytime we tried to go anywhere, you know, is it right in the heat of it? It's, you know, like there was this one time my family and I were like, okay, Dad, let's go to the mall. And I've mm-hmm. got sisters, right? I'm the oldest, but I've got these sisters. So mm-hmm. we all go to the mall with my dad and we're not there maybe 5 minutes in New Jersey somewhere. And then somebody, you know, hears it's Superfly. And the next thing we know, there's just this crowd of people behind us and my dad, and we couldn't even get anything done. So we just, you know, split out of there. So it was hard sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, or same thing in the restaurants, you know, like anybody that's famous gets, you know, a lot of times people, you're just trying to spend some time with your family member, you know, in this case, my dad, and people are always coming up asking for autographs. So that was a little hard sometimes because yeah. we just wanted to spend time with our dad. On the other side of that though, like I would see how much my dad would affect other people's lives, like in a good way, in a great way. Yeah. And that was humbling. So, yeah. you know, as much as I can, you know, what's a 12-year-old kid know, right? He doesn't know much.
Really?
he's just like, I want to spend time with dad. But so it was humbling at different times though, just seeing the effect he had on people. So, it, you know, I really can't complain. It was exciting. It was different. I got to see a lot of different things a lot of people don't get to see. So that's what it was like.
Yeah. And it's odd because to just people that are like modern fans that, you know, don't know that time period. You know, I mean, Jimmy Snuka, everybody knows Jimmy Snuka, right? Everybody knows Superfly. But in that time, prior to Hulk Hogan coming back to WWE, and even shortly after, I mean, Jimmy, he challenged Hogan in popularity there in those early years. And at one point, your dad was driving the WWE business. I mean, he was their top draw. And so it can't, you know, I mean, it can't be understated. I mean, everybody knows who Jimmy Snuka is, but I don't think people can grasp the draw he was at that time.
No, it, and I didn't even understand until later, right?
Yeah.
Like as I grew up and as I got older, you know, and they did the first WrestleMania and I was at that backstage, right? You really don't realize how big it was at that time until you grow up a little bit and sure. then you just run into people. Like I ran into a guy yesterday, right? Mm-hmm. He came into my business and you know, they introduced me, hey, this is Jimmy Snuka Jr. And he's like, wait. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
he just comment, he's like, wait, like the Superfly?
Yeah.
You know, and then he's like, you know, talking to his son who's a baseball player. And so I'm telling him about how my dad played baseball. And
yeah.
So yeah, you don't realize how big it was at the time. And so the way I'll explain it to people, I was like, okay, who's the most famous pro wrestler you know right now? Like who's famous?
Yeah.
And and at different times, you know, they're like, okay, John Cena, or I know, you know, Roman Reigns or whoever it is at the moment.
Yeah.
And I'll say, okay, so what do you think it'd be like if he was in a restaurant? Oh, everybody come over and I was like, that's kind of what it was like.
Yeah. Yeah. And then obviously you followed in his footsteps, right? But you decided to become a pro wrestler kind of, it was late in your 20s, right? It was a little later in the game. So what were you doing prior to that?
Great question. I was married with four kids at the time.
Oh.
And I was working two jobs. I was working as a youth counselor at one place, and I was working as a cameraman at a TV station.
Ah, okay.
So I was doing those two jobs before I got into wrestling.
Well,
That's what I was doing.
and you were also at one point in time a Mr. Hawaii Islands, right?
So this is what's interesting about the internet, right? You got to be careful what you read on the internet,
Okay.
right? Because they get stuff twisted and mixed up.
Sure.
Yeah. So actually, my father's the one who is Mr. Hawaiian Islands and Mr.
Okay.
North Shore. He was the bodybuilding champion
All
before he
right.
got into wrestling. That's
Yeah.
how he got in, actually.
Right.
Yeah. So I know the internet gets it mixed up, and like, people ask me, yo, so what was it like to be a bodybuilder? I was like, I have no idea.
Yeah, good old Wikipedia,
Yeah. But it's all good. Sometimes I take the shirt off and flex for him, and like, oh, there's no way this guy was the bodybuilding champion. But
Well, I
no.
mean, compared to a lot of, I mean, I don't want to disparage anybody, but compared to a lot of modern wrestlers, though, you're ripped.
I appreciate that. Well,
There you go.
yeah, it was yeah, that was my pops though. That was him that so he interestingly enough, he was actually, back in the day, they didn't pay very well for bodybuilding, right?
Yeah.
And so he was a big time baseball player. When that didn't work out, then he started bodybuilding, and he had a natural muscularity about him.
Yeah.
And I've got these pictures. I actually need to post them probably at some point. He was all natural, but he looked great, and
Yeah.
he would win all these bodybuilding competitions in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Like Mr. North Shore was one of them, Mr. Hawaiian Islands, which is kind of the equivalent of, if you say like Miss USA pageant, right? You got New Jersey, New York,
Yeah,
Hawaii. It was
sure.
kind of like that. And so he was just about to actually go pro when he met one of the wrestlers in the gym, and basically, so I, here, this is a good story.
Okay.
Is I'm you can actually say that I was the reason my dad got into wrestling. True
Okay.
story.
All right.
So he's bodybuilding, and my mom gets pregnant, right? And so
Uh-huh.
my parents weren't married. And my dad now knows, oh dang, I'm gonna be a father, and I'm not making very much money. I'm out here bodybuilding, and I'm driving truck. He would deliver beer to different bars in Hawaii, and he's like, not making much money. He's like, man, I got to make some money. And then that was the time where Cowboy Frankie Lane basically saw him in the gym, and he's like, hey, if you teach me how to, train my body. And he trained at the gym where a lot of wrestlers came through on their way to Japan. And he said, teach me how to train my body and I'll teach you how to wrestle. You can make some money. And
Yeah.
that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. Well, and obviously your father had one of the best physiques, pretty much throughout his entire career. I mean, even when he was an elder statesman, so to speak, still had a great physique. And your father, right, your early training helped train you. You were between that and the UWA, right? What your early train, what was that like, right? Because you're again in your late 20s, your father, you're working this UWA, the independents, trying to break in. What was that like, your father training you and having a hand in that?
Okay, so let's take it back to when I'm working the two jobs, right? And
Mm-hmm.
so the way it happened was I actually never wanted to get into professional wrestling. It just wasn't a thing I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And my dad never pushed it, never said anything, never like, son, I want you to follow. He never said any of that. He just let me do my thing.
Yeah.
And so now I'm married, I got kids, I'm working these jobs, and I get this. You ever felt like you should be doing something? Like you have a feeling, I need
Sure.
to do something else than
Yeah.
whatever it is I'm doing.
Right, yeah.
So you call it whatever you want,
Yeah.
intuition, the spirit, whatever. I felt that, and I knew I was like, man, I got to do something different. And I actually called up my cousin. I called up Dwayne, and I said, listen, I'm thinking about getting into wrestling. Like, what do I do? And he said, so listen, he goes, you gotta train with somebody. And I was like, okay, so who should train me? I'm gonna do this. And he said something that was the best piece of advice anybody could ever gave me. He said, listen, you need to use what you've got. And your dad was one of the best to ever do it. Nobody's gonna be able to train you better. You need to go train with your dad.
Yeah.
And right before that, I had talked to his mom, you know, my Auntie Atta, and, mm-hmm. and I had these conversations with her. And so she really helped me decide. And then I called up Dwayne, and then I called up my dad and said, you know, hey, I want to come train with you. I want to get into the business. I need to train with you. What do you want me to do? He said, I want you to quit your two jobs and fly up here. And that he was living in New Jersey. I was living in Utah at the time. Okay. So I went into the TV station. I gave my 2 weeks. I went into the, you know, the youth counselor job. I gave him 2 weeks. And my dad bought me a plane ticket and I flew up to New Jersey. I left my family in Utah. And that's where I started training. That's how it went.
Yeah. Right. And it, you know, wasn't, you know, too long, right? You signed with WWE. You went to Ohio Valley, and when you were there, you were paired with Cliff Compton, right? And then you started teaming, managed by Cherry, and that was the beginning of this, the Deuce and Domino partnership. So how did the three of you, I mean, obviously there was some chemistry there, right? It worked. So how did you three click when you were first put together? Did it feel right? Cliff Compton's a great talent, and everything he's done. And but when you guys first met and first you started teaming, did it just feel like, yeah, this is right?
So it actually took me 4.5 years to get to OVW.
Sure.
Yeah. And so when I finally did get there, and then I would say probably 2 years. It was actually like two years, I think, before I actually paired up with Cliff Compton, with Domino. And the way that happened was he and I started working out together. Everybody had workout partners or whatever. They'd go by themselves. And I was used to doing that. But my dad really liked to train with somebody else. Mm-hmm. And so I said to Cliff, hey, why don't we start working out together? We're on the same schedule. Let's just go. We started doing that. And he actually was telling me about a character he was working on. It was based on Andrew Dice Clay.
Okay.
And he said, you know, but Andrew Dice Clay basically based his character on a greaser. And when I heard that, I was like, greaser. And my dad had always taught me, do what's never been done. You got to be different. You got to stand out. And yeah. When I heard the name greaser, I just said, that's never been done. That would be cool. That would, like, we should team up and do a greaser thing. And that was the start of the chemistry and what happened. When Domino said that, then we got together. And he actually had the idea of a girl on roller skates.
Okay.
And so, and you're right. Domino is, he's an incredible talent. Sure, I don't think people realize how much of a, see, I'm not even... Like, I wasn't a huge wrestling fan or historian or any of that.
Yeah. But
what was great is I had some talent. And of course I had the pedigree and the growing up in the business. So that helped with my dad, but there was a lot I didn't know. And so being in OVW was essential to my success, and being with Cliff was fantastic because he knew a lot of the history. You know, he was a huge wrestling fan. So when we got put together, it just worked. Like, we just, you know what I mean? And he's like, oh, we got to get a girl on roller skates. And so, you know, when we knew that, I knew, okay, well, we got to find somebody that, you know, we could essentially mold into the person that we were thinking of, right? This girl on roller skates.
Yeah.
And so we basically came in. I was like, okay, here's what we're going to do is we're going to get to TV. And we had OVW TV. We taped it. I think it was Wednesdays. I think we taped it every Wednesday. And so I said, here, what we're going to do is we're going to get to the arena early before everybody comes. And we're just going to watch everybody come in. And so that's what we did. We sat at the top of the arena. You know, it's only like, you know, I don't know, 10 rows or something, but we're sitting up there. We're watching everybody come into the school and we're seeing all the girls and we're like, okay, no, not her. I mean, she would work, but she's already with this guy. They're already managing them. Oh, there, you know. And then when we saw her walk in, we're like, her, how about her? You know? And that was how it basically started, is you know, we grabbed her and just kind of began to make it happen. And it just worked from the jump.
Yeah, I mean, you guys, like you said, the greaser thing, right? That tapping into that 50s nostalgia and everything, and it was something that I don't recall ever being done before, and it was like you said, it was different, and it led to a lot of success, right? You had a lot of success in Ohio Valley. You guys won the tag titles, and then ultimately you got called up to SmackDown in 2007, and it only took a couple of months, right? And you guys were the tag champs. Up there. So that had to be between that point of you and Cliff putting this together and deciding to do this and up to the point where you're tag champ, that had to be kind of a wild ride for you guys.
Oh man, was it ever? So we put this thing together, and so I don't know if many people know this, but what ended up happening as soon as we got it together, and we needed the girl, and what happened was Johnny Ace and Nova and a lot of the WWE staff came down, and they wanted to see what the talent had at OVW, and so, like, you know, Cherry had to go and get roller skates and she had to like throw this costume together in like overnight because we didn't have it together and we knew we had to show WWE brass what we had. And so we get out there and I mean, we tear it up. It was beautiful, right? Out of everybody that tried out that day. And what happened was I was the only one under developmental contract at that time. Cherry or Domino, they didn't have a contract. After that day, right, it was the first time they'd ever fi signed two people on the dot. Like they pulled us in the office, Johnny Ace and the rest of the staff were there, and they're like, okay, we're gonna sign you Domino, we're gonna sign you Cherry, and like the whole thing. And it was like really quick. And so we're all happy and celebrating. And then the next thing you know, like, okay, we need to bring you guys up to TV and let's give you guys a dark match. So they actually bring us up to TV. We go to do a dark match. The match was okay. It was all right. We come backstage afterwards and they're like, okay, so Domino had a leather jacket. I didn't have one. And Johnny Ace goes to me, he goes, where's your leather jacket? I'm like, I don't know. I don't have one. He's like, get a leather jacket. I was like, okay. So they basically sent us back down to OVW because we weren't quite ready yet. And that was the best thing could have happened for us, is we went back down for another year to work on our craft. And then, as you know, right, the main event is the most important match. And we kept working on the craft, working on the craft. And Al Snow, who was our trainer at the time, as well as Lance Storm, but Al Snow was really doing TV. And he really gave us an opportunity to mold our craft and gave us the avenue to really show what we had. And what was interestingly enough is, and nothing to take away from the guys that were doing the heavyweight title angle and all of that, but what ended up happening is our storyline was hotter. And so we got the main event on that big, you know, what you might call the WrestleMania of OVW, the big blow-off show, right? And we got that main event spot because our angle was just hot. And, you know, we had Cody Rhodes on one side with Shawn Spears. And then versus Deuce and Domino for the tag titles, for the, you know, for Cherry. And it was a huge match for the blow off. And we actually got called up to TV right before before we had that match. So it was, you talk about a wild ride, is, you know, here we are, you know, doing all this stuff. They send us back down for a year, but now we're ready. And it was great. It's great.
And at that time, I mean, SmackDown was the hot show, right? It was outperforming Raw. What was it like being on that roster? Because that was the show to watch at that time.
Dave, I got it. So much fun.
I bet. Yeah.
It was so much fun. I mean, there was a lot of great people there at that time. I mean, Rey Mysterio was there, and Eddie Guerrero, and Undertaker, and right. And so when we went on tour, like to other countries and stuff, like just getting to be around those guys and work around those guys, you know, just able to drop so much knowledge on you. You know, so it was good times being on that show. I miss the big fist, right? That brings back.
Yeah. Every time I see that entrance.
That set of the, you know, with the big fist, brings back a lot of memories. Absolutely.
Yeah. Did you have a favorite team that you guys worked during that run? Someone that you felt you really clicked with?
Did I have a favorite team? I don't know that I had a favorite team necessarily.
Okay.
As far as, you know, who we worked, I tell you probably what I appreciated though, is I really appreciated the workouts that we would do before the matches started. I'm a big learning. I'm a big progress. Like, who can I become type of guy? Especially now, and those in-ring matches that we would do, you know, before the shows ever started, we'd get in there and do workouts with Arn Anderson and Fit Finley and, you know, some of the other boys. And we would have matches, you know, all the time before the shows ever started. And I think I won't say more than the show, but I really appreciated those workouts because, I mean, that was the first time where I saw Sheamus. We were on at C's on tour, and he would come to one of those workouts. And who else? There was a bunch of other guys that they would come to those workouts beforehand. Yeah. And then next thing we know, they're signed, you know, and now they're big stars. So I really liked those pre-workouts because you got to see the talent before they were ever famous. So I learned a lot there.
Yeah, and you were obviously committed to the gimmick, and you obviously thought it was unique, something someone hadn't done. But you personally, were you a fan of the Deuce and Domino gimmick? Did you like doing that 50s greaser throwback thing? But I mean, besides the right, no one's done it. It's and obviously you were committed, but just personally, did you like the gimmick?
Okay, man. So I watched as a kid, no lie. I mean, me and my sisters would watch Grease all the time on HBO, on Cinemax. We had those. My dad loved the movie channels. Yep. And every time, you know, Grease would, we were watching that. I was a huge fan of The Outsiders, you know, another big Greaser movie at the time. And so, yes, I loved those stories. And that's why when Domino said, you know, when he said greaser, it popped out at me.
Yeah.
Because at this point, right, Dave, I'd been in OVW for a while. Mm-hmm. And people don't know, like, I almost got fired from OVW because I didn't know what to do. Because Vince had told me, you know, we don't want you to do the Jimmy Snuka Jr. thing, you know, be your own man. So I was trying to figure out, I was like, okay, what am I going to do? I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And for a little while I was doing the Muslim thing, Arab thing with Sean Daivari and Magnus. We were actually a tag team first.
Yeah.
And then they brought those two guys up and I stayed in OVW. So it was, did I love it? Absolutely. I absolutely loved it. But you know, I didn't get that opportunity to come right away. We had to figure out that Deuce and Domino gimmick, which, you know, ended up working out great for me.
Yeah. And then in mid 2008, they broke the team up. They moved you to Raw. They renamed you the Sim Snuka. And then they acknowledged the family thing, right? What was the deal with that? And were you in favor of that change? Did you want to work as a snook on TV? What triggered that change?
Yeah. So interestingly enough, see, when I was Deuce, like I knew who that guy was. Mm-hmm. He was just basically an extension of me, like everybody says, right? But you just turn the volume up, you yep. extend him, right?
Yep.
And Deuce had anger issues, right? He was jealous about everything, and I knew who that guy was. I could tell you.
Yeah.
And so I knew how to act. When they told me to be Sim Snuka, right? And Sim actually, so that's what my family calls me. It's actually short for Simmy, which is Jimmy, right? And so Sim, it's what my family calls me. So when they said, yeah. you know, come up with a name, I was like, okay, I want to use Sim. And so when we did that, I had a hard time with it because I think back in my mind, Vince had told me, you know, don't do Jimmy Snuka Jr. You're not, you know, don't do that. Yeah. So when they wanted me to do it now, it's like, okay, now you want me to do it? And I didn't really know who Sim Snuka was. And I think that came across on TV somewhat, right? I didn't know where to go with it. And so it was a little bit hard for me, or harder for me. And I think I got lost in that part. Whereas I knew exactly who Deuce was. I was committed to that.
Yeah. I mean, I do think, I agree. I think you kind of got lost in the shuffle, no fault of your own per se, but it's like, right. All of a sudden you put Snuka there, no matter what you do, they're going to compare you to your dad. So, and that's going to be difficult, right? I mean, because you can't, it's hard to do your own thing when you're constantly, you know, being compared to him. And go ahead.
And that would have been okay, Dave. I was okay with it. It's just, I didn't know what to do with the character of Sim Snuka, right?
Yeah.
Where I knew what to do with Deuce. That was almost easy for me. It's just, so that's funny, right? I knew what to do with Deuce. I didn't know what to do with my own name, right?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, now that I'm more experienced and older, it's like, okay, this is what I could have done. I should have done this. But at that time, and they don't give you a lot of time to figure it out. It's like sink or swim. You better figure this out.
Yeah. Right? You know what they always say about hindsight, right? It just, so tell us your side of the story of WrestleMania 25, right? You were dressed as a cameraman during the Shawn Michaels Undertaker match, right? I've always heard, I've heard this story that Undertaker says you missed catching him with a dive. What tell us your side of this. What was the deal with that?
Yeah. So great life lesson there. So yes, that I was supposed to be in a certain spot in order to catch Undertaker. I was probably, I don't know, maybe a foot back from where I needed to be in order to catch him. And to be honest with you, I got caught up in the moment, right? I mean, it was WrestleMania and I was in the moment.
Yeah.
And so I probably needed to be a foot closer.
Yeah.
Now at the last second, from what I understand, right, it just before he hits the floor, I guess I just pushed him just enough where he didn't land on his head. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
Right. Thank goodness. Yeah. To be transparent, to be open and honest, I should have, my whole body should have caught him. Right. I should have done a better job.
Yeah.
How I got into that spot though. And this is lesson number two. For lesson number one, be where you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
All right. Lesson number two is, right, you need to be prepared for the moment. If you're unprepared for the moment, then, you know, you're going to get flustered. You're going to get, you know, you're not going to know what to do, which both those things happen.
Yeah.
And now I actually use that with, you know, my students, with the people that I work with now, I actually use that story to help.
Yeah.
The third lesson in that is the way I got there was I actually had talked to, I forget who I was talking to, but basically I wanted to be more than I was, right? I wanted another spot. And I'd heard about, look, if you want another spot, you better go grab it. You got to go do something. So we're at WrestleMania. This is literally that day. And Shawn Michaels and Undertaker are in a private room, right? They're working out their stuff. They got the private ring time. And I go in there. Right?
Yeah.
I want my spot, right? So I go in there. And I say, listen, you know, I said something to the effect of, and I don't remember exactly what I said. I probably practiced it for a couple hours. I don't know. And I go in there and I basically said, you know, I really want to learn. I really want to be where you are. Like, you know, what can I do to be around you more, you know, and, you know, try to up my level where I'm at. And then Undertaker said something to me that I appreciated. He said, I love the enthusiasm. I love the desire. He goes, but your timing is wrong.
Mm.
Right? Which is, he's absolutely correct, right?
Yep.
It was inappropriate to come in there at that time. Right idea, bad timing.
Sure.
So what ended up happening from that, though, is that's how I ended up in that cameraman spot. Is they were trying to figure out, hey, we need a cameraman to do this. And they're like, well, okay, let's give him a chance, right? Let's give him a shot. And that was, so they pulled up my name for that. And they, you know, put a mustache and a beard and stuff on me, and nobody could recognize me. And so matter of fact, to test it out, they put the beard, mustache, everything on me. They put me on camera. Vince is in the truck looking at the camera. They put me on camera and Vince goes, who the hell is that? And so they're like, okay, perfect. Nobody will recognize him.
Yeah. So did you take a lot of direct heat after that? Did that have a hand in you end up being released?
I'm certain of it. Certain of it.
Yeah.
But in all reality though, Dave, right? If I was running the business, let's say I'm running WWE, right? Mm-hmm. And the business is, you got to understand what the business is that you need to do. Sure. And if you don't understand what business we're trying to create and what business you're supposed to be doing, then I cannot put you in a spot where there's millions of dollars on the line, or in this case, right, it's billions of dollars now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so right in hindsight, I understood. I understood why I couldn't continue in that role anymore, because they gave me a huge spot. I didn't deliver. And so it's like, man, what are we going to do with this guy? Well, we don't care if he's Snuka's son. He didn't deliver on where he was supposed to. So, you know, therefore we got to cut him loose.
Yeah.
Now, it didn't feel like that in the moment.
Sure.
It was heartbreaking.
Yeah.
But it's a great lesson for anybody. When you're trying to do something, you better be sure you're prepared for that moment before you ask for it.
Right. Well, and go ahead.
I'll give you, and here's the other part I just remembered about that story. And I don't remember if I said this before I barged in there on Shawn Michaels and Undertaker or afterwards, but I'm in the bathroom, same WrestleMania, and I'm talking, and it's only me and Shawn Michaels in the bathroom.
Uh-huh.
And so I take my opportunity, right, to ask Shawn. And Shawn gives me the second part of that, of what I just told you, is Shawn basically said, he goes, look, if you want a spot, if you want to be up here at the top, he's like, you gotta go get that. Nobody's going to give it to you. He's like, you got to go get that. And then he said, but the thing is if you go get that, you better be sure you're ready for it.
Well, yeah. And then after you're released and after you leave WWE, right, you started working independence, but it did lead to a show in New York in 2009 where you got to team with your father, right? So that had to be a special moment for you, right?
Yeah, that was great. It was great. It is always good to be in the ring with my pops. And that's the thing I love about tag team wrestling. So my very first match was actually with my father. Mm-hmm. We were a tag team, and we tagged against Brutus the Barber Beefcake and Greg the Hammer Valentine. That was my very first match.
Yeah.
And so that match that we did in New York, gosh, that might have been is that the last time I've wrestled? I don't remember, but that was definitely one of my last matches where I got to tag with my dad. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
right. Great times.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of a special bookend, right? To that. And obviously your dad, right? Because, you know, the health problems he had after and everything else, right? We're talking 2009. He didn't get to work a lot after that. So yeah, that's a pretty special thing. And then of course, I on a side note, a little bit, I do want to ask, your sister has worked in WWE, right? As Tamina. I got to ask you, and maybe you don't know, maybe you don't have any insight. What is going on with Tamina? Because to all what most of us know, she's still under contract, but she has been on TV in forever. So what's going on with your sister?
Yeah, so I know it's been a while, right? Like I don't know, has it been over a year?
I feels like it's odd. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, she's just taking some time off right now, right? And we all need that every now and then.
Sure.
And so
yeah.
As far as I know, right, she just had to take some time off and, you know, just take care of herself. And, you know, I know she had a few tweaks and things as you get over the years. And so, mm-hmm. you know, just trying to take care of all of that stuff. But no, she's great. She's good. You know, I just messaged her yesterday. So, yeah, she's just having some time off. So I'm not sure when she's coming back or, you know, what that looks like for her. Yeah, you'd have to ask her. I'm not sure when she's coming back.
I'd love to do that. Hopefully it'll be soon, right? Because to me, I always thought she was a great talent. And she obviously has the size, which sets her up apart from a lot of the women. But, you know, I've always been a fan of both of you guys. But on a side note, right, you Domino and Cherry are back together, right, and taking some bookings and appearances. So after all this time, how fun is it for you three to be back working together again?
It's always a good time, right? I mean, when you travel up and down the road with somebody and you spend so much time together, right, you get to know each other's families, you get to know each other, right, and you know, we spend a lot of time together. So it's fun catching up, you know, taking pictures and seeing the fans again. And that's kind of the, you know, one of the things I love to see now as well is there's a lot of love from the fans, right? You get going with life and you're not on TV anymore and you get doing your thing. And then you see the fans and you see how much they appreciated what you did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I did an autograph session with those guys up in Jersey, I think it was, in New York, up in that area. And, you know, one of the fans brought a picture that he painted of my dad, right?
Oh, yeah.
Came to see Deuce and Domino and Cherry. And he brought me this beautiful picture of my dad. And then, you know, another fan brought the, you know, these different pictures that they've drawn of us. And it's the fans are, the wrestling fans are awesome like that, where they, you know, they're really thoughtful and, mm-hmm. and sometimes bringing you gifts. So that's always been something I've appreciated when we get together and get to do that.
Yeah, and I was going to ask, besides, you know, you and Domino and Cherry, do you also feel a little bit of a, I don't want to say responsibility, but maybe an opportunity to kind of carry on that legacy, that memory of your father since his passing, that since he, you know, he's not here with us anymore, that maybe you out here doing these appearances and signings kind of gives you the opportunity to you know, kind of keep him alive in spirit a little bit.
You know, that would be to be raw and open and honest, that would be exactly what it is that I'm trying to do, Dave.
Is yeah.
Sometimes with the appearances and all of that, okay, yeah, I can do some of that. But I think even more so with the way that I live my life now, the way my kids are going, you know, I've got a granddaughter now.
Oof,
right.
My
kids have been able to do some things and, you know, now they're coming up. And so, you know, when you talk about a legacy and you talk about like, how can I honor my father and honor his name? Because a lot of people might read stuff on the internet and most people haven't met my dad.
Sure.
And when you talk about his legacy, if you've ever been around my father, if you've ever actually talked to him or you know him, and all of my mom's family can attest to this, right? And anybody that's been around us can attest to this. Think of somebody you absolutely love being around and enjoy. That's my pops.
He
genuinely is a kind, loving person. If you were to be around him and you were to ask him, hey, Superfly, like, you know, hey, I like your shirt, or hey, I like your headband, or my dad would literally take it off. And I've watched him do it at autograph sessions, at shows, at you name it. I've watched him literally peel his shirt off and give it to that fan, or take his headband off and give it to that fan. And he would do that all the time. And people don't realize, it's like, okay, you know, did my dad have some real demons? He absolutely did.
Sure.
He did.
Yeah.
He was a good man that, yeah, he had some stuff that he had to work through and not good stuff. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other side, like everybody, like all my mom's family, they always talk about, right? Like, yeah, when we got together for family gatherings and this and that, the way they talk about my dad is there's joy, there's happiness, there's reverence there, because he was like, when he spoke in those family gatherings or anytime I heard him talk to people, like everybody would just listen to him. And I would be in awe of watching, like I'd look around at the crowd and just see everybody listening to him, like they're mesmerized by what he's saying. And he didn't even speak English that great, and you couldn't even understand him a lot of times, right?
Yeah.
And you're like, wait, what is he talking about?
Yeah.
You know, but people would just be mesmerized by him, and more importantly, when you got to know him, like people were like, man, I really like that guy. It's because he genuinely cared about other people. And I don't think most people know that. And so when you talk about a legacy and what can I do to keep my dad's legacy alive? Well, it's multiple things, but really it's letting people know. Is like, when you're talking about being somebody service oriented or being a good person or helping other people or giving the shirt off your back, like that wasn't hearsay to my dad. That wasn't some nice quote. That's the way my pops lived. He lived like that.
Sure.
I mean, I'll share some stuff with you. I heard him multiple times growing up. I'm a little kid in the locker room. Uh-huh. And I heard guys ask my dad for money. My dad's the top guy in WWF at that time. And I heard guys ask, hey, you know, Jimmy, can I get, you know, my kids, my family, you know, we need like 2,000. And my dad would I watched him give them $2,000.
Yeah.
The most I ever seen my dad give somebody, $10,000. Wow. Not an exaggeration.
Yeah.
Not a made up story. I watched him do it.
Yeah.
Over and over. And the boys would ask him all the time for money. I had family that would do that. And I think anybody with a good heart does that, right? Mm.
Yep.
You see other people struggling, you know, you're making good money and you never think it's going to run out. And so you help other people. So when you say about a legacy or what could I do to keep my dad's name alive? It's that is really just sharing those stories, letting people know that these things that nobody ever saw and that I saw growing up and realizing that I actually had a really good father. He was a really good person in many things. There were many things he didn't do right.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that.
Sure.
But he was by nature a good man.
Yeah, I mean, definitely a huge impact on the business. Right? I was always a huge fan of your father, and you know, I mean, when he climbed the rope, right? You couldn't help but get chills, be excited, you know. And I was, you know, I watched him in the cartoon, right? And I had his figure and all that. And I mean, he was just was always just so special. And then by proxy, right? I was always a fan of yours. I was always a fan of Tamina's, just because of that legacy, that continuation, that line. I always loved that. And hear you say that, I love to hear that, and I think that would make your father very proud to know that that's where you stand, right? And that's your take on these appearances and stuff is to help do that, right? To help keep his legacy, his memory alive, and how much you enjoy hearing people share their memories of him. I think that's crucial. That's important. But like we said, right, you guys are out there, you're doing signings, whatever else, but what's next for you? You could continue doing the signings. Is any other projects in the work, anything of that sort, or is it kind of a day by day thing?
So what I mean, sometimes I'll do them, you know, if they come up, but what I really do right now, Dave, is I actually help people and organizations solve big problems.
Okay.
That's what I do for a living now. And so what does that mean? That means that I help people and organizations get more wins and real results. And I use a lot of what my dad taught me. I use a lot of what I learned on the road. Like I absolutely, when I'm helping these different teams or athletes or business people, I'm talking wrestling and all of these things all the time. Mm-hmm. So like, here's a good example. So you had mentioned that my father was at one point in time, he was the most famous professional wrestler in the whole world.
Right? Absolutely.
He was the biggest draw at one time.
Absolutely.
So he was great, right?
Yep.
So my dad's home from the road. We're in Hawaii where I was growing up. I'm in high school. I'm like 16 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just watching Michael Jordan play basketball. Mm-hmm. And my dad says something to me that would take me 20 years to understand what he was talking about. You know, because my dad spoke a different language, right?
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there watching this game with him, and he says to me, he goes, son, he goes, brother, do you think you can be better than Michael Jordan? And I looked at my dad, and, you know, I'm a young son who wants to impress his dad. So what do you think I said? Right.
Sure.
I'm like, yeah. Of
yeah.
Course, right? Not, thinking to myself, you want me to be better than Michael Jordan at basketball. Right. So 20 years later from that time, right, I'm in my 30s now. And I finally realized what my dad was trying to say to me is, my dad was at one, he's the best in the world at that time, right? At one point.
Yeah.
And he's looking at the best player in the world.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And he's saying to me, not, I want you to be the best basketball player. My dad was trying to tell me, son, can you be great at something? Can you be the best in the world? Can you be fantastic at something?
Yeah.
That's what he was trying to tell me.
Yeah.
And those kinds of lessons, that is exactly what it was like growing up with the Superfly.
Yeah.
He was teaching me those things over and over every single day.
Yeah.
So, you know, you want to know what I do? That's what I do now, is I share those stories of my dad and teach people real world lessons. So if I were talking to a team, college team, any level team, and they're trying to win games they've never won, win a championship. And I've helped people do that at all these different levels. And I tell them that story of being great. and it helps them understand the kind of mindset they need to have to build their business or fix their marriage or, you know, win a championship. And I've been able to do it over and over using these stories and these events that my dad gave me. And then, you know, using some of these other personal experiences that I've had, like with Cody. You know, Cody, Cody was another great example to me. I use those all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And obviously, right. Obviously, I don't care who you are. I think you have to acknowledge that the world right now needs positivity, needs encouragement. It's a wild world right now, but I don't think we should gloss over the fact that according to your story, the Superfly even referred to his son as Brudda.
Dave, that was everybody. Everybody was Brudda. Yeah,
I'm not surprised. Yeah, it's not brother, right? It's Brudda.
yeah, that's exactly what it was. But when you think of where my dad grew up, he grew up in the islands. He's from Fiji, right?
Yeah.
And is like I was explaining to other people in our culture, right? In the Polynesian culture, right? Yeah. Anybody that's older than you, right? Everybody becomes automatically uncle and auntie and, you know, you become cousins and family, and blood doesn't have anything to do with it.
Right. Yeah.
You literally become that. Like, for instance, I have a sister, right? And if we were talking technically, bloodline, if we're talking technically, she's actually my cousin, first cousin. Mm-hmm. Okay. But she grew up with us. She and my dad's the only dad she knew. So to me and my family, right? She's another sister of mine, and she refers to my dad as dad.
Yeah.
Like, you know, yeah. I miss dad, right? Yeah. Calls my mom, mom. And so that's what I mean. When you understand the way my dad thought and the way he, you know, understood other people, and this is what I get to teach people all the time now, leaving that legacy, is that, you know, if you treat people like a brada, like a sister,
yeah.
See, then they feel it, then they appreciate it, and he really believed that. That wasn't a gimmick.
Yeah,
that was him.
Yeah, I totally get that. Right, I had a great aunt and uncle, who to me were my grandma and grandpa. They raised my father, and so I always referred to him as, you know, as grandma and grandpa, and I've always thought, right, family does not end or begin with blood. It's a different level of love and appreciation.
Oh, completely, man.
Yeah.
And I watched him emulate that to me, right? That family didn't have anything to do with blood. I mean, I've got family, I've got blood family that we're not close at all. And I've got family that we don't have any blood relation, but that's my brother. That's my freaking brother. That's my sister, right?
Yep. Yep.
And so family don't have anything to do with blood. Family, you pick your family.
That's right. I agree. Completely agree. So, well, Sim, it's been great to talk to you. I don't want to keep you too much longer, but before we get out of here, you're out there, right? You do say you do the occasional appearance, you know, and you and Domino and Cherry are doing some things. Is there a way that fans can follow you? What's the best way to follow you, to keep track of when you make these appearances and things like that? Is there a way for them to do that?
Absolutely. Yeah. Just jump on Instagram is probably the fastest, easiest way. And I'm at J like Jimmy Snuka. And then the number 2, J Snuka 2 on Instagram is the easiest way to follow me. Jump on there and follow me on there. You can message me about appearances or, you know, the work that I'm doing or any of that. That's the best way to find me. Dave, I appreciate you letting me come on and shoot the breeze with you, my dad would like to say. And thanks so much for the opportunity, man. It was a pleasure. Pleasure talking with you.
Absolutely. I appreciate your time. And I thank you for everything you've done. I thank you for what you've said about keeping your dad's legacy alive and everything else. It's just been an honor to talk to you. And hopefully people will follow you there on Again's Instagram, hit you up when you're out there doing those appearances, and follow, because, you know, who knows when Sim Snuka will turn up or what he'll do next. So, sir, again, thank you for your time. I greatly appreciate it.
Absolutely. All right. You guys followed Mr. Dave Dynasty.
Hey, you bums. We have to take a quick break.
Available on all streaming platforms, it's professional wrestling's greatest, largest, privately owned wrestling library. All the classic hits, flips, slams, and pins of yesteryear are on one place. It's Ultimate Classic Wrestling. Check out the Nature Boy Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan, Mr. USA Tony Atlas, Tito Santana, Rick Martel, a who's who of professional wrestling's greatest spotlight stars ever to grace the squared circle, all in one place. Grab the best seat in the house for memories and mayhem on Ultimate Classic Wrestling.
Hey guys, Ray Russell here, curator of the WrestleCopia Podcast Network, inviting you guys to listen to many of the programs here as part of the WrestleCopia brand, including, but not limited to, the Wrestling Memory Grenade, currently covering the 1988 and the WWF Project. You can also listen to the Regional Wrestling Podcast, where we talk the territories, whether it's Jamie Ward with Georgia 81, Roman Gomez with the UWF in 1986, or Gene Jackson covering Memphis in 85. Three projects going on right now over there at Regional Wrestling. You can also listen to The Wrestling Stoop with the legend himself, Bob Roop. Bob goes back in time each and every week, covering not just his career, but countless stories and interactions with hundreds of wrestling names spanning his two decades in the business. But that's not all. You can also check out the Puro Wrestling Academy with the professor of Puro Resu, Mr. Dan Ginnity. Dan and I go back in time and cover the history of Japanese professional wrestling in the English language. And you can listen to all of those shows and more, all part of the WrestleCopia Podcast Network, located over at WrestleCopia.com. That's WrestleCopia.com, and anywhere your podcast streaming needs are met, from Apple to Spotify, Pocket Cast, and beyond. And while you're at it, why not subscribe to our social media guys for all the latest goings on here at the WrestleCopia Podcast Network? Plus, I'm constantly adding old school video clips and pictures from throughout wrestling history. You can follow us over on X, formerly Twitter, at Wrestling Grenade. That's at R-A-S-S-L-I-N Grenade. Also, follow and like me, Facebook.com/Wrestling Grenade. And why not subscribe to YouTube.com/Wrestling Grenade? So if you're looking to support that next up-and-coming podcast brand, please consider making it WrestleCopia.
We're back on Wrestling Nostalgia.
All right, and thank you to Sim for coming on and doing that interview with me. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. Guys, make sure you follow me on social media. You can look me up on pretty much any platform. Just look up Nostalgic Dave Dynasty, or you can look up The Dave Dynasty, and you will find me via one of those two. Also, go check out the WrestleCopia Network of Podcasts. The shows are all fun listens, man. I'm telling you, they have great hosts. They shine a light on wrestling history. They're very, very entertaining. Just go to WrestleCopia.com for all of the shows, or you can look up the individual podcasts on your favorite podcast platform. Also, be sure to check out my friends at the Ultimate Classic Wrestling Library. Go to ClassicWrestling.net to sign up for your account now, and then download the Ultimate Classic Wrestling app on all of your devices. All right, that's it, guys. We'll be back next week with another new episode. Make sure you follow me on social media for that guest announcement when it comes out. But until then, wherever you go and whatever you do, be good, be safe, and always keep on growing.
Fans, we brought you All-Star Championship Wrestling. This is Sam Manager thanking you for being with us and saying until next time, so long, everyone.
Wrestling Nostalgia is copyright Dave Dynasty. Bruiser voice done by John Lawson.